Today's shiur sechtav avasru daf kuf samach dalad. We will begin on daf kuf samach gimel amid beis, two lines from the bottom. Our Gemara in the previous shiur had mentioned the opinion of Rav that if someone writes a shtar on an erased piece of paper and also has that, it's the same piece of paper that has the text of the shtar and the signature of the Edom all on an erased piece of paper, that is fine. And as we are going to learn the sugya, we will discuss situations where the text is on a new piece of paper, the signature is on an erased piece of paper, vice versa, and the Gemara will discuss different rules that Chazal instituted under such circumstances. But Tosfos teaches us that one of the situations, or the situation where Chazal wanted to avoid requiring anything special be done, is the situation that the Gemara begins with, the situation where both the text of the shtar and the signature of the Edom is on an erased piece of paper. And the reason is because, says Tosfos, it was very common in those days that they would write a document and then not need it and erase it and recycle the paper. Parchment was expensive and they would recycle that parchment, and therefore Chazal did not want to require anything special be done in such a circumstance. Rather, in other circumstances, which are not the common circumstances, where it's not that the entire piece of parchment is recycled, that's where Chazal instituted their requirements. And says the Gemara, Gufa Meraf, Shtar Haba Hu Ve'edav Al-Machak. Here we have a situation that the Shtar and the document and the Edom are on an erased piece of paper. The halacha is that such a Shtar is kosher. Vim Timer, and if one will suggest perhaps it should not be kosher, for we should be concerned, Meichik, that somebody dishonest will erase the text of that shtar and the chayz of a moichik and have a document written on that erased piece of paper and then erase that text again and write over the signatures a new text, which obviously will be not true. So we'll have a situation that the top and the top was erased twice and the bottom will be erased once, but it's all an erased piece of parchment. And since it's all an erased piece of parchment, we should be concerned that, given that Ram says that such a shtar is kosher, it will be misused, says the Gemara. We don't have to be concerned. We were able to tell if one part was erased once versus the other part that was erased twice. As the Rishonim explained, what happens when a document is erased, they used to erase it by scraping on it, and the scraping wears out the thickness of the shtar, and because it wears out the thickness of the shtar, we could tell that it was erased. And in fact, says the Shulchan Aruch, that's why the halacha is that when we look at a piece of parchment, we have to try to see if the entire piece of parchment is all erased or not all erased, if it's different, if it might have been erased more than once in one spot and more than by the signatures versus the text. Moreover, says the Shach, not only do we have to be concerned about the area of the signature versus the area of the text, but we really also have to be concerned about the area of the in the shtar itself. As we know, there are certain lines of the shtar which are the crucial lines. Those are the lines that speak about the amount, the date, and we have to sometimes check that somebody unscrupulous might have erased those very important lines and inserted something else. Says the Gemara, we therefore did not have to be concerned that somebody went and erased the top and had it erased twice versus the place where the Eidah was signed were only erased once. Because Eina Doima, you can't compare an area that's Nimchak Pamachas that was only erased once versus an area that's Nimchak Shtepamim that was erased two times. However, says Tosfos, that's only in a case where it's written on. But an area that's not written on, we cannot tell the difference if it was erased once or twice. Ask the Gemara, V'leichesh, let's have this concern. Dilma shada deyusa amokim edim likara. Perhaps he'll put ink on the place where the edim are going, supposed to sign. Or machikli, and then he'll erase that ink. Then he'll write on the entire parchment, erase it. And then he'll write a document on the once erased section and have Adam sign on the twice erased section. So when he will go and erase the top section and rewrite on it, the top and the bottom will be areas that were erased twice. And why should we not be concerned about that? Ask Tosfos, why should we have this concern? When the Edim will come to sign their shtar, won't they be able to tell that the place that they're signing was erased once, and that the rest of the shtar was erased twice, and they could tell the difference? So given what we just quoted Tosfos to say, that Tosfos says that you only could tell the difference on a piece of paper that was written on versus not on a piece of paper that was not written on. So that's when you could tell the difference if it was erased once or erased twice. Here, where they're coming to sign, where it's not written on, they wouldn't be able to tell the difference between it was erased once or twice. Another Teretz that Rishonim suggests is that there's a difference between Bezdin or Edim. Bezdin have the ability to tell the difference between an area that's erased once or an area that's erased twice. However, here we're referring to the Edim who are coming to sign the shtar. The Edim don't have that ability, and since the Edim don't have that ability, we should be concerned. We should have perhaps this concern. In fact, says the Itur, a very interesting Itur, even though as we've been learning the sugyas, the halacha we've always been learning is that we assume that a shtar, when we get a shtar, we have to assume that the shtar is a kosher shtar, unless there's a strong reason to believe that it isn't. Here, when we begin speaking about shtaris that were torn, the halacha changes. Because it's very common that people should not be experts in being able to tell that a shtar was erased on, and the halacha therefore will be that any situation that the shtar was, that the piece of parchment was erased, we have to be concerned that the people weren't able to tell that that was what was happening here. And in fact, the Ritva goes on to say that, let's say there's another type of a shtar. There's a shtar that says that I sign that I owe you money. I write I owe you whatever amount of money and I sign on the bottom. There certainly, says the Ritva, where there's a concern that the piece of paper was erased, the shtar would become invalid. Because only in a case where we have Edim or certainly a Bezdin can we say that the Edim or the Bezdin knew to watch and tell if it was erased and how many times it was erased. But if it's done written by an individual, maybe the malva will tamper with it, and the loiva will not be able to respond, and there certainly the shtar will be invalid. So our Gemara again asks, why should we not be concerned that perhaps he put ink on the place where the Edom will sign, erased the ink, then wrote a shtar and erased it, and then he wrote a new shtar, he wrote on the once erased section, and had Edom sign on the twice erased section, and then he'll be again able to erase the top section, and we'll have a shtad that both parts were erased twice. Amar Abaya, Ksav Rav, Rav is of the opinion, Ein Edim Chosven al Machak, Edim, if they're going to sign on an erased parchment, will not sign Elmke Nechav Ifneim. They have to see what's happening, and therefore they'll see how many times everything was erased. Meisvei asked the Gemara on Rav's opinion from the following Braisa. It says in the Braisa, Hu al Anayer, if the text of the Shtar is on a new piece of paper, unerased piece of paper. Veidav al Machok, and the Edim are signed on the erased section of a piece of parchment, the Shtar is kosher. Ask the Gemara v'Nechesh, why should we not be concerned? Dilma Machokle, perhaps the one holding the Shtar will erase the entire text. The Kosov by the boy, and then he'll write whatever he wants. V'Avalehu v'Edav al Machak. So we'll have that both of them are on a erased piece of paper. And we started this year, the Rav says that if both of them are on an erased piece of paper, the Shtar is a kosher Shtar. Furthermore, as we started this year, we want to keep that halacha in place, because it was quite common that the text and the Edim should be all on a erased piece of paper, because paper was, parchment was very commonly recycled. But here we'll have a situation of real fraud. Answers the Gemara, the cost of Hachi, if we have a shtar that was originally written that the text was on new piece of parchment and the Edim was signed on a erased piece of parchment, the Edim, when they signed that type of shtar, will write, Anachnu Sadich Samna Marka. We signed on an erased piece of parchment, the shtar, but the text was Kosov Al Me'ara on a new piece of parchment. Ask the Gemara, the Ksiva Hechi, exactly where do you want this insertion written by the Edim to be put? Imelatachas, if we're going to put it below the signatures of the Edim, so why don't we have to be worried that guy is late, that the person will just cut that part off and will never see this statement made by the Edim? Eloi, if we're going to put it, if this statement by the Edim is going to be put on top of the signature, so just like this individual that we're concerned is erasing the entire text on the top, he'll also erase this statement made by the Edim. Answers the Gemara, the Ksivi ben Sada l'Sada. Where it has to be put is right between the two signatures of the Edim. Says Tosfos, based on this, that now that we have to have in a situation where the shtar was written on a new piece of paper and the Edim on a erased piece of paper, we have to leave space between the two signatures to write that the Edim could put in this statement. Says Tosfos, in a situation where it is all erased, we have to be very careful that there should be no space between the signatures of the Edim. Because if there's going to be space between the signatures of Edim, he may be able to insert there a statement that doesn't belong there. So in a place where we need a statement, says Tosfos, leave space between the signatures to write in that statement. In a place where the statement should not be made, not only is the statement not to be made, but we should be careful not to leave room, because sometimes it's to the advantage of the writer of the shtar to put in such a statement incorrectly. But now we have another question that the Rishonim ask. So we have here two Edim, but with the statement that they're making inserted between their signatures. We know that we always need to have two Edim on any document to be considered a kosher witnesses. So how could one Ed over here be adequate? So the Ramban says that since this is not real Edis, the halach is when do we need real Edis, when do we need Ed Echod, which we see in halacha, is adequate, will be adequate here too. So even though we only have one Ed signed under this statement, it will be enough. Other Rishonim suggest as follows. Here we're not referring to a situation that we need Edim to testify that something did or didn't happen. Rather, the Edim are only being brought here and writing this statement because of a concern that the writer of the shtar may do something improper. When the concern is only that the writer of the shtar will do something improper, the halacha is, so it's only about a chashash that may happen in the future, an eid echod is enough. Ask the Gemara, Ihachi, if we're saying that writing such a clause between the two signatures is an option, Ema Seifa, let's learn the last part of that braisa. The braisa says, Hu amachak. If the shtar, if the text of the shtar was written on an erased piece of paper, the edim al anayor and the edim on regular piece of paper, the loch is possible. That such a shtar is possible. Ask the Gemara, am I possible? Why are we so quick to invalidate? Because we have to be concerned that the person who wrote, erased the original text and put on a false text in their place. Am I possible? Why not say the same thing? That our signatures appeared on new parchment. Vishtara, the text, was al machka, was an erased piece of parchment. My Amrit, what is your concern? The Moichik, the Chayzav of Moichik, that he's going to erase it a second time, and therefore by writing that it was written on an erased piece of paper will not help us, because maybe he will erase it a second time and insert their wording that is incorrect. Didn't we say at the beginning of the Shir, asked the Gemara, Ha'amrit, enedom nimcha pamachas, l'nifishta pepamim. The Edom will have written that this text was erased once, but it was really, and here, if he's going to erase it and write on it a second time, it'll be discernible that it was erased two times. And we said at the beginning of the Shir, you could tell the difference, especially even according to Tosfos. The Tosfos says you could only tell the difference when it was written on. Here it's written on, you'll be able to tell the difference. Answers the Gemara, Hanimili, when do we say that you could tell the difference between some a piece of parchment that was erased once and it was erased twice? That's only in a situation where the Edom are signed on the erased parchment. However, here the Edom are signed on the new piece of paper. Ela Naira, they're signed on new piece of parchment. Lo Yedia, we can't tell what if it was erased once or twice. Which means as follows. If we have one document, and part of the document, as we said at the beginning of the shiur, was erased once, and part of the document was erased twice, we could tell the difference between the part that was erased once and the part that was erased twice. But in a situation where the top was erased once or twice and the bottom wasn't erased at all, so we don't have the ability to do a side-by-side comparison. When we don't have the ability to do a side-by-side comparison, there we won't be able to tell if it was erased once or twice, and therefore the concern that the Gemara expressed that perhaps somebody will erase it twice is very relevant. Ask the Gemara, why don't we do the following? For Leis Megillah Chirta, why don't we bring another piece of parchment? For Limchik, and erase it once? For Lidmi, and see how the two pieces of parchment look next to each other. Do they both look the same? So that'll be a proof that both pieces of parchment were erased only once. Or do they look different and we'll be able to tell that they weren't erased, that one was erased twice and one was only erased once? Answer the Gemara, you can never compare pieces of parchment one to the other. Why? Because Leidoma Makda Hamagilta Lamakda Hamagilta. There are no two parchments that are identical, and therefore we can never make a comparison by comparing one parchment to the other. Ask the Gemara, why don't we do the following? The Lekabel Chesim Yisrael Desad Bebedina. Let's take this parchment, this document. The top is written on an erased piece of paper. The bottom, we don't know if it was erased once or twice. The bottom, the Edom was signed on a piece that was never erased. So the first thing we should do is establish that this is the signature of these Edom. L'kabel chesim yadu desadim beidina. We should bring Edom, either the Edom themselves or use files that Beis Din have to compare to determine that these are the signatures of these people. Then limchik, and then we can write, so we don't need their signatures anymore, because we already established that the shtar has been properly signed. Then limchik, let's erase those signatures for lidmi, and then we could compare the top to the bottom. If it looks the same, there'll be a proof that both were only erased once. If they won't look the same, it'll be a proof that the top was tampered with because it was erased twice. Answers the Gemara, Amar Vaishya, and a document Nimchik ben Yoim or Nimchik ben Shnei Yoimim. Something that was just erased today doesn't look the same as something that was erased a number of days ago. Because what happens is the erased piece of paper gets a darker look, and that darkness takes a while to come out. And therefore, by doing this, we won't be able to make this determination. So ask the Gemara, fine. We're going to erase the Edom on the bottom. We can't, and then compare it to the top. We can't do it on the same day. But why don't we wait, Velishe, till a couple of days go by, that whatever, however dark this piece of paper is going to get, it will get that dark. And on that day, we'll be able to see and compare the top to the bottom. If they look the same, it's a proof they both were only erased once. If they don't look the same, it'll be a proof that they were erased. The top was erased twice, and the bottom was only erased once. And in fact, says the Beis Yosef, and Ramah quotes this Beis Yosef, from here we see how important it is that if we're going to erase a document, we should erase all of it on the same day. Because we shouldn't separate and erase it on different days, because by erasing it on different days, the discoloration happens in different days. But again, ask the Gemara, ultimately the true color will come out and we could do the side-by-side comparison. So why does the Brice just invalidate the shtar when the top was written on erased piece of paper, a parchment, and the Edom was signed on a new piece of parchment? Don't we have a way of making this comparison? Answers the Gemara, Am Rabbi Yirmiyah, Chashinin, the Beis Din Toin. We're concerned the Beis Din is going to make a mistake and not do the comparison properly. Ask the Mefarshim that we learned already earlier in our Masecht on Daf Kuf Lamed Ches that we're not choishish for Beis Din Toin. So why over here are we choishish? Why are we here with concern that Beis Din is going to make a mistake? So the Rishonim give a number of answers. One answer they give is when we say that we're not concerned for Beis Din Toin, that's in a situation where it's a Beis Din that we're not concerned that Beis Din doesn't know the halacha. But here it's not an issue of not knowing the halacha. Here it's an issue of not being expert in how to make this determination, how to do this test. That we have to be concerned that this individual is not qualified to do. Or we have to be concerned that Beis Din is going to forget to go through this exercise, and because of that, Chazal did not want to rely on this way of determining if the shtar is kosher or not. Says the Gemara, we learned in the Mishnah, Rechonina ben Gamliel Oymer Kosher. Rechonina ben Gamliel said that if you have you start with a shtar mekosher. And as we learned in the Mishnah, the halach is that a shtar mekusher, the Edom should sign on the back. However, says Gamliel, if on the shtar mekusher, the Edom signed on the front, it will be kosher. Because we could always make a shtar mekusher into a shtar poshet just by opening up the folds. Ask the Gemara, Heshev Rebbe Lidiv Rebbe Chanin Gamliel. So Rebbe challenged, where Rebbe Chanin Gamliel said, V'loi ena doima, the dating system which is used to write the date on a shtar poshut is not the same as the dating system used on a shtar mekosher. Why? Poshut, on a shtar poshut, as we learned the Gemara Masechta Megillah, the Gemara Masechta Rosh Hashanah teach us that they used to use as a dating system the year of the monarchy. The Rishonim say already that that system is no longer used. It was only used then because of Shalom Malchus. But then they used to write, use the dating system of the monarchy. And therefore, on a regular shtar, on a shtar poshet, Malach Shana, if the king is a king for 1 year, Marin Leishana, we say that when we write the date, it's the first year. Shtayim, if the king is the king for 2 years, Marin Leishtayim, we say that this document was written in the second year of his monarchy. However, Mekusher, by Shtar Mekusher, the halach is Malach Shana, even if he was only a king for 1 year, Marin Leishtayim, we write the second year. Shtayim, and if it's in the second year of his monarchy, and we're writing the Shtar Mekusher, Marin Leishtayim, we write that it was the third year. Why do we do this? So going back to what we learned at the beginning of the sugya, when we learned about Shtar Mekusher, where everything that we do in writing Shtar Mekusher is to create delay, because that was the whole purpose of writing the Shtar Mekusher. So that's why here too, we make a complicated dating system. Other Rishonim go on to say that the Shtar will have, if the Shtar will have a date that's automatically a year later, the Shtar will always have a chance for the Kohen or the hot-headed individual who wrote the Shtar to rethink what he's doing, because it won't be valid for another year anyway. So ask the Gemara, how could Rav Chanina ben Gamliel suggest that we could turn a Shtar Mekusher to Shtar Poshet? Don't they have different dating systems? And Rebbe continues, what would make such a big nafkamina by having the different dating systems? V'zimnan, the Yazmin Ezuzubi Mekusher. So we should be concerned that, let's say, somebody borrowed money with somebody else from somebody else with Shtar Mekusher, and the date written in was Rosh Chodesh Adar. U'mesram Ezuzubi Beini Beini. But the person who borrowed the money, Baruch Hashem, found money, and parlay, and pays back his malva, vomele. And we know, when somebody pays back his malva, he asks back, havlish deroy, give me back my document, and I'll give you the money I owe you, vomele. And the malva tells the loiv, irchusli, I lost the shtar, because le tavra, but you need to have some documentation that you paid up, I'll give you a receipt. However, b'chimot izavne, mashvele pashit, when the time that written into the shtar comes, the holder of the shtar will open up the shtar mekusher and turn it into shtar poshet. Vamalei hani hashtu the yastamine. Let's think this through. I borrowed money on Rosh Chodesh Adar of year one of the king, but the shtar that was written is a shtar mekusher, and the shtar mekusher will not say year one. The shtar mekusher will say year two. So the shtar says, Rosh Chodesh Adar of year two, I borrowed money from you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps me, and Rosh Chodesh Elul, I pay you back, I come to you to pay you, you see you lost the shtar. So you say, no problem, I'll write you a receipt. You write me a receipt, and Rosh Chodesh Elul, I paid you back. Now Rosh Chodesh Adar of year two comes. You open up your shtar mekusher, turn it, as Rav Chanina ben Gamliel suggests, that you can make a shtar mekusher into shtar poshet. Turn it into a regular shtar, and it says that I borrowed money from you on Rosh Chodesh Adar of year two. I have a receipt in my possession that I paid you back on Rosh Chodesh Elul that has nothing to do with this loan. Yes, I borrowed money from you. I paid you back. You gave me a receipt, and this shtar indicates that I borrowed money from you again. So, by allowing, says Rebbe to Rav Chanina ben Gamliel, that a shtar poshet, the shtar mekusher, could be turned into a shtar poshet, don't we have a situation that somebody could easily get cheated? And says the Gemara Kesavah, Rav Chanina ben Gamliel is of the opinion, which we're going to discuss later in our perek, that ain't koitzin shoiver, that receipts are never written. And since receipts are never written, we don't have to worry that the receipt will not help me any. If I don't get back the real shtar, I won't pay you. This is the way the Rishonim learn the Gemara. However, after Rishonim, if now we have this concern, we learned earlier in our parak, learned in another Masechtas also, that the halacha is that a shtar me'ucher is kosher. A post-dated shtar is kosher. That means if I borrow money from you, Rosh Chodesh Adar, everybody agrees, according to most explanations, the halacha is that even without my permission, you could go and choose to write the shtar with a date of, you could choose to write the shtar with a date of Rosh Chodesh Elul. Why should we not be concerned, ask the Rishonim, that when I give you the shtar, that when I'm going to pay you back before Rosh Chodesh Elul, you're going to give me, you're going to take my money. And then when Rosh Chodesh Elul comes about, even you'll say that this is a new loan. So Rosh Chodesh respond that by a shtar mekusher, a person, so some Rosh Chodesh indeed hold that the mandam, this mandam will hold that a shtar mekusher is possible. That's a simple teretz. Other Rosh Chodesh suggest there's a difference between a shtar mekusher and when I enter into a loan with you. When somebody writes a shtar mekusher, as we've seen clearly in our Gemara, people were not typically such experts in shtar mekushers. And therefore, the loiva who got involved with a shtar mekusher doesn't necessarily recognize and doesn't necessarily know that the shtar that he got involved with has a date that's a year later. However, in a regular case of a loiva to malva, if I borrow money from you, and for whatever reason we agree that you could write a shtar mekusher, so both of us are aware that the shtar that was written was a shtar mekusher, and therefore we don't have to be concerned that I should make a mistake. I'll know that the shtar that was written was a later shtar and deal with it accordingly. Ask the Gemara, Umi Baki Rebbe Mekusher. Was Rebbe such an expert in shtar mekusher? For whom mekusher does look made the Rebbe? There was a shtar mekusher that came to Rebbe. Vom Rebbe, and Rebbe said, shtar mekusher, this shtar is a shtar mekusher, because he saw that the date was dated later. Vomle Zunan le Rebbe, and Zunan said to Rebbe. And as the Rishonim explained, because Zunan came from a different country, so where he came from, it was common that they wrote shtar mekushers, and that's why Zunan was able to point out to Rebbe that there is no problem with the shtar mekusher that came from there, because kach min haga shalom azu, malach shana, if the king is a king for 1 year, manu lo shtayim. They write into the shtar that it's year two. Shtayim, if he was the king for 2 years, manu lo shalosh. They write that it's year three. It's all to show honor to the king. So we see from here that Rebbe didn't know how shtar mekushers were written. So how is Rebbe challenging Rebbe Chanina ben Gamliel? And says the Gemara, Bas de Shamim Mizanim Savra. At the beginning, he indeed wasn't an expert in the writing of shtar mekushers. But afterwards, once he heard from Zunan the right way that they're written, he knew that they're dated with a year later. There's an interesting discussion amongst the Mefarshim if Zunan was a Jew or not a Jew. The Rashbam uses the words that he was a Shem Chochem. Most Mefarshim take the Rashbam to mean that he was a Jew, and he was a Chochem amongst the Jews. However, the Mashah seems to learn that Zunan, and he brings Raias from Shas, that Zunan was not Jewish. And the Stechemet has a discussion on this, and the Stechemet suggests actually that there might have been two Zunan, one was a Jew and one wasn't a Jew. Says the Gemara, Ha'u shtar dav akosabe, there was a shtar that was written in it, the Shnas Ploini Arkon, in the year of so-and-so Arkon. Amar Reb Chanina, so Reb Chanina says, Yubadek Amad Bar Chunosei, we should see when this king took on the monarchy, and this shtar was written in the first year of the monarchy. Mefarshim explained why would they use the word Archon in the first year of the monarchy. One pshat is because it was a bracha that they were giving the king that his monarchy should extend, his monarchy should last long. Another pshat is, the Gros suggests this pshat, it's like a Loshon Saginor. He really wasn't king for so long, but we're calling him Archon, that he's king for a long time. Ask the Gemara, V'dimo da'arach v'malchusay. Maybe what it means is that he was king for a long time. Am Rav Aishya, so says Rav Aishya, kach min haga shalom azu. That is the meaning of this country. and as we learned earlier, we follow the minig in determining the validity of the shtar. That Shana Rishona, in the first year of the monarchy, Karam Lai Archon, we call him Archon. Shnia, in the second year, Karam Lai Digun, the word Digun is used. As the Ben Yoyad explains, it comes from the wording in the Pasuk, V'yidgu L'roiv B'kerev Oretz, which represents that it should extend. V'dilma Avru Evru, ask the Gemara, V'hodak Mo, how can we know for sure which year of his monarchy was? Maybe he was once king, deposed, and then came back again. So how can we be sure that's year one of the first monarchy, of the first time he was king? Answers the Gemara, Amar Yirmiyahu Achad Digun Karlei. If it's year one of his second time that he was running the country, they wouldn't call it just Archon, they would call it Archon Digun. The fact that just the word Archon was used is an indication that it's year one of his first reign. Ask the Rajbo, why should we be concerned? Why do the Gemara assuming that such a far-fetched concern that he was king, deposed, and then came back? Why would we think that that happened? Says the Rajbo. Of course, normally by a king, there's no reason to believe that a king was deposed and then came back. A king remains on his monarchy unless we know otherwise. However, here we're referring, says the Rajba, to a country that did not have a system of a king. Rather, the country was run with a political system that we may even be familiar nowadays, where there were prime ministers that were headed a party that was in control. And sometimes that party won the election, and an individual was named prime minister, and then that party lost the election, so the prime minister that headed the party is no longer prime minister, and then that party again won another election. So it's quite common, says the Rajba, that the same person should have been in power and out of power and back in power. And that's why the Gemara considers this and that type of a political system quite possible, that the same leader of the country should have come and gone back and forth. And says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, Hareini Nazir. If somebody says, I'm accepting upon myself a Nazir, but he then uses certain words along with that declaration. Sumchas Omer, says Sumchas, if he says the word Hina, I'm accepting one term of Naziris, Hina, it means he's accepting one term of Naziris. If he uses the words digun, it means that he's accepting shtayim, two terms of nazirigus. Trigun means three terms. Tatrigun means arba, four terms. Pentagon means five terms. And as the Rishonim explained this Gemara, the Gemara is not coming to teach us that one to accept upon himself nazirus has to specifically say it in Lashon Kodesh. There's no reason to assume that it has to be said specifically in Lashon Kodesh. Furthermore, there's no reason to assume that a person can't accept upon himself multiple terms of Naziris. What is the Gemara coming to teach us? So as Rabbi Chanan explains what Taisva says, he says as follows. We know that when it comes to Tefillah, for example, there's a difference if one is Mispalel in Lashon Kodesh versus if he davens in a different language. You could daven in a different language. But if you daven in Lashon Kodesh, you don't have to be as familiar with the meaning of the words as if you daven in a different language. There you have to understand exactly what you're saying. Similarly here, what the Gemara is teaching us is that if you use these words, certainly if you don't at all understand what you're saying, it doesn't have any effect. But if you have somewhat of an understanding of what you're saying, even though you don't know the exact meaning of the word, you will be considered that you accepted this amount of terms of Naziris. Tanu Rabbanan, Bayis Ogel, if somebody lives in a round house, Digun, a two-cornered house, Trigun, a three-cornered house, Pentagon, or a five-cornered house, any time in the gun, the din of Nige Batim doesn't apply. However, Tetragon, if he lives in a four-sided house, Matam Benagoyim, the din of Nige Batim apply. Ask the Gemara anonymously, from where do we know that it has to be a four-sided house for the din of Nige Batim to apply? Answers the Gemara, The Torah uses the words, l'malo oimer, kir kirois. The Torah uses first the word kir kirois, and l'mata oimer, and then the bottom the Torah uses the word kirois, again, shtayim. So it comes 2 plus 2. Each time the Torah uses the word kirois, means two walls, 2 plus 2 is 4. That only when we have four walls is that house considered a house that is subject to negayim, not any else. Just to read the words of the pasuk. The first pasuk the Gemara refers to is v'ra'as anega, v'ne anega b'kiris habayis shekarus yagroes adamas mareim shafman akir. So the Torah could have used the word kir. It uses kirois, which means two. And then the pasuk furthermore says v'shava koyin b'yom ashvi v'ra'a v'ne pasa anega b'kiris habayis. Again, the word kirois, which means a minimum of two. 2 plus 2 equals 4. A vast to be subject to the halacha of and the goyim has to have four walls. Says the Gemara, "Huma kusha dos to kamei the Rebbe." There was a shtam kusha that was brought in front of Rebbe. "Vama Rebbe ain't zman bezeh." There is no date here. "Amalei Rav Shimon b'Rebbe l'Rebbe." So Rav Shimon his son said to him, "Shema ben kshar muvla." Maybe the date is recessed in the folds. "Pal yevachazie." So indeed, he opened it up and he saw the date. "Had the chazit b'Rebbe b'rishes." Rebbe looked disapprovingly at Rav Shimon, and Rav Shimon assumed. Why was Rebbe unhappy with him? Because he thought that he wrote a shtar makusher, and Reb Shimon assumed that Rebbe wasn't happy that people should use shtar makushers given all the complications that are involved, as we have been learning in writing shtar makusher. Or he might have been specifically upset with this shtar makusher where the date was so hard to see. Amalei. So Rebbe, Reb Shimon, in order to defend himself in front of his father, said, "Lava na kasrei. I didn't write it. Reb Yehuda Chaita kasrei. Reb Yehuda Chaita wrote it." Amalei kalach meloshen hara zeh. What you just said was loshen hara, because you spoke about Reb Yehuda Chaita inappropriately. That you're saying that he wrote a shtar not properly. And as the Chafetz Chaim and all the Rishonim explain, even though he didn't say that Yehuda Chaita did anything specifically bad, but Lashon Hara includes a situation where it is just even somewhat of saying something disparaging about somebody else, which was clearly the situation here. Zimna v'yosu kamei. Another time Reb Shimon was sitting in front of Rebbe, the Kapasuk b'Sefer Tehillim, and they were learning Sefer Tehillim. Am Rebbe kamim yushik savzeh. The Sefer Tehillim was written with such a beautiful handwriting. Am leilava nak safti, I didn't write it. You the chayt kasvei. Am leikalach meloshen harazeh. Answers the Gemara. Bishlam ma'asam. In the first case where he said that the shtar, which Rebbe wasn't happy with the way the shtar was written, saying that it was written by Rebbe Yehuda Chaita, Ikka Lashon Hara. We can understand why there it's considered a situation of Lashon Hara. Elohacha, in this situation, my Lashon Hara, Ikka, what's the Lashon Hara by saying that the Tehillim was written so beautifully by Rebbe Yehuda Chaita? Answers the Gemara Mishun Rav Dimi. The Tana Rav Dimi, Achud Rav Safra, Lo'alam Ayisapa Adam B'Tayvasa Shechaveroi, don't speak nicely about somebody else, B'Tayvasa Shechaveroi, B'Ala De'Rosoi, by speaking nicely about him, you could come to speak not nicely about him. And as the Mashal explains the Gemara, first we'll explain what the Rashba's Mashal's Pshat, because that's the Pashto Pshat in the Gemara. The Pashto Pshat in the Gemara, says the Mashal, is that it could well be that in the first case, Rebbe didn't know there was a Yehuda Chaita that wrote the Shtar, and not only didn't Rebbe know there was a Yehuda Chaita, it could be that all Rav Shimon said was that I didn't write the Shtar, but he didn't clearly say there was a Yehuda Chaita that wrote the Shtar. But now, by saying that this shtar, by this saying this Tehillim was written by Rebbe Yehuda Chaita, and Rebbe will recognize that the handwriting of both of these are the same, so that's considered avak lashon hara. He didn't say exactly lashon hara. Rebbe Yehuda Chaita wrote the shtar that was written improperly, but rather what he was saying was that Rebbe Yehuda Chaita, this is Rebbe Yehuda Chaita's handwriting. And by saying that this is Rebbe Yehuda Chaita's handwriting, Rebbe will understand that the shtar that he wasn't happy with was written by Rebbe Yehuda Chaita. And that's considered a vak lashon hara, where through your statements, lashon hara will emerge. So our Gemara seems to say, "Loyal ma yisap ad b'toych tevasos chaveroi b'toyvasos chaveroi b'toych tevasos b'alo de rosso." You may, if you say good, you're not allowed to say bad. You may come to say bad, which of course is a very difficult Gemara to understand, because certainly we find throughout Shas where people complimented other people and did say that they did things properly. So why in our Gemara are we so quick to say don't say nice about other people? So I saw a number of answers in the Rishonim and the Achronim. One answer that the Rishonim give is that it depends in front of whom you're talking. If you're talking in front of his enemies, so b'tach shtavasoi b'aladei rasoi. But if you're talking not in front, if you're speaking about an individual, not in front of his enemies, there you could speak praise about the individual. We don't need to be concerned. The Chasam Sofer says, there's a difference if you praise somebody about his spiritual qualities. There you could speak about another person, and you don't have to worry that by speaking good, bad will come out. Versus when you're speaking about not spiritual qualities, like in our Gemara, he just said he has a nice handwriting, that is a problem. Another pshat that the Rishonim suggest is, it depends if you excessively praise somebody else. When you start to excessively praise someone else, that's when you have to be concerned that the negative traits of that person will also be mentioned. If you only say certain praise about the person, but not overdo it, then it's mutter. Another pshat that I saw, which is very much in line with the way we learned the Gemara, is that what may be a compliment to one individual may actually be an insult to another individual. Meaning as follows. A person like Rabbi Yehuda Chaita, who was a great Talmud Chacham, him spending his time or saying about him that he's a great Sofer is actually an insult. You should say he's a great Talmud Chacham. La'olam ayisapir adam etayvaso shel chaveroi. What is a maila, what is praise about somebody else, maybe rasoi, maybe saying something not nice in this situation, because for such a person, it's not a praise. A person like Rabbi Yehuda Chaita should have been learning, not been a cipher. Or as the Reish Rav explains, that he spent his time writing Tehillim, writing Shtaris, instead of learning in that time. That can be considered something, for somebody like Rabbi Yehuda Chaita, as inappropriate. Another pshat that, based on this Gemara, I saw the Mefarshim explain, famous Rashi, in the beginning of Parashas Noach. Rashi says, Yesh Darshim L'Gnai, V'yesh Darshim L'Shnach. Some say praise about Noach, and some say Gnai, that he wasn't great. So all the Mefarshim ask, if we could say Shvach, how can we say Gnai? But according to our Gemara, saying Shvach can lead to Lashon Hara. Saying Gnai will not lead to Lashon Hara. And that's why the Yesh Darshim prefer to say Gnai to avoid Chas V'Shalom coming to say Lashon Hara on the great Tzaddik Noach.